Let's look at our scripture in Acts chapter 5 and just refresh our thinking here. My goodness, Jerry, that is good this morning. Whoa. Glory to God. I'm still bathing what Creflo said last night. Now, hey, when you got up this morning, I guarantee you, you're just like me. Every one of you had a choice. You could say, I guess it just didn't work for me last night. I remember what Creflo, I remember the look on his face when he said that tailbone pain tried to come back on him. And he said, "You didn't hear what I said to you last night? You heard what I said. You don't touch me." I just remembered that this morning. I got up this morning and I said, "You heard me last night." And all of a sudden, I don't know where this came from. I just had a flash just across my mind of my dad looking back in the back seat and saying, "Don't make me come back there." Whoa! I said, "Okay. Now I know how that devil felt this morning. Don't you make me tell you again. You heard me last night. Glory to God. I am pain free. You understand that?" Amen. Oh, glory to God. That's good, wasn't it? In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Now, let's find out what did that. Just put your finger there. "Many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And just slide back over to verse 30 of the fourth chapter. "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. It didn't happen because they were apostles. It happened because they had faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, I done preached myself happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, and "of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Now, I want to touch on that just for a moment. It was not the shadow. It was not the shadow. That is a unit of measure. Now, see my shadow right there? It's getting closer to Loyal every step I take. My shadow. Now, the anointing, the healing power was flowing out of him. Amen. And if you just got that close right there, that power was there. You could get your healing without him touching you. Hallelujah. Now this is really going to get big before we get through today. So listen up, all right? There are also a multitude of the cities round about in Jerusalem bring sick folks, them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And we believed for it Monday morning in the name of Jesus that in this meeting throughout this week, what did it say? And they were healed, every one. The healing power of God is here for everyone. 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 I said everyone. It's God's will for you to have it. Praise God. Now then, there's something I want to talk to you about right down this line. We talked about, in fact, we read the 136th Psalm, and a number of 118th Psalm, and we found out that God is good and His mercy endures forever, that He is the God of all mercies. And you can, the word translated mercy is also translated compassion. And we found out that He is full. He is full of compassion and mercy. He's full. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, that's exciting to me. Glory to God. Now, yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I'll do that. Let's go over. Well, let's go over to the second chapter of the book of Mark. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. It was noised that he was in the house. This was his house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there's no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. Amen. He preached the word to them. Now, Luke 5:17. Well, let's look over there. Luke chapter 5, the same account. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. So he not only preached the word, he taught them. He was teaching them. And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which are come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power was present to heal them. Everybody in there. It was Jesus' will to heal everybody in the house. Now, I thought for years that this was a hostile group, but no. You see, he wasn't in their house. They were in his house. This means they came there on purpose to hear him. And when you notice the end of this story, they all were thrilled and glorified God. But in the midst of his teaching and preaching the word, amen, those fellas broke a hole in top of his house. And I can just see him standing there looking at, what is, and he's looking up like this with a big smile on his face. I don't believe the fella ever got all the way down to the floor. Son, cheer up. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, see, the power was there not only to heal everybody in the place, but to forgive everybody in the place. Amen. So in the midst of that, their thinking immediately got sidetracked to, can he do that? Can he? This man blasphemed. This is going on in minds. Now, when they sidetracked, the word stopped working. Now, up until then, faith is coming. Because he's teaching and preaching. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. But all of a sudden, their religious brainwashing got in the way. And when they shut down, what happened? Satan immediately stole that word that he had just got through preaching to them. Amen. So when the man was let down in there, glory to God, he could have done the same thing. He could have said, wait a minute. Can he do this? Can he know what I did? Evidently, sin was a big thing on this man's mind. It might that his thinking and the words of his mouth and so forth got him into that crippled, sick situation that he's in. But I want you to notice now something that is so vital from this. He's being let down in there. Where is the healing power? It's in Jesus. Amen? The power is in him. He said, it's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. The power was in him. Now, I want you to notice, when Peter is out on the street, the power is in him. Now, a bunch of people being laid in the street. Bunch of people not even born again yet. Being laid right there in front. And the power is working in him. But when they accepted it, now it went in them. Amen. Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere with it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen to what he said about this. And Mark 2:5, he saw their faith. He said to the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven you. There were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. That you may know that the Son of Man, not the Son of God, the Son of Man, this is a man anointed, baptized and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power, say power, hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your own house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and left. The same power, the same healing power is forgiving power. There's not two different powers at work Same one. This man had faith to believe for both. He not only believed his sins were forgiven, he got up and went home.
Amen.
He could have said, sir, I really appreciate this, but I can't walk. I can't. He lay right there. I don't care if it was Jesus. He lay right there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you remember I told you about yesterday, I was talking to you about a faith family in operation. When my granddaughter, back there when she was only 11 years old, and diagnosed with meningitis, said she couldn't live till daytime. And as a family, all of us went into action on the Word of God, each one of us being led by the Spirit of God, and each one of our parts came together. And when that happened, all of our parts came together. It set the situation up where the Spirit of God could manifest Himself in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and she was instantly healed of meningitis. Now, that's only part of the story. But let me refresh your memory now. Where, in that situation, where was the power?
In all of you.
Yeah. It was in every one of us.
Yeah.
It was in Kelly. She called on the Spirit of God and she followed His lead. And she said, I refuse to fear. And that dark spirit just left her like she is hot.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, he didn't want no more to do with her. Well, the power was functioning in each one of us as a family. And God could move. But I want you to see something now. I want you to focus on the fact that Jesus said, it's the Father that dwells within. He does the works. Amen. Now, it was functioning in all of us. I want to talk to you now about a church in action. Because it wasn't just our family. Now, I'll tell you what, we're considered a strange bunch of birds around our place. I mean, if one of our family just has a baby, you can't get in the waiting room. We take it over. I mean, all of us get there. And I mean, we bring picnics to the waiting room. Glory to God. We can't wait to get our hands on this baby. One situation I'm thinking about, the doctor that came in and said, all this one family? And the pediatrician said, yes, you may think they are a bit strange, but they know their business. And they know what they're doing.
Wow.
Now, that was a pediatrician talking to this guy.
Yeah.
In other words, don't get in their way. You understand? Because they've seen miracles before. Now, we did that at Cook's Medical Center. I mean, the church immediately. Now, those of you been coming to pre-service prayer, you know. You know that Pastor Terry knows how to pray.
Amen.
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 And Pastor Terry and Pastor George, I mean, they took the team. They went into that waiting room over there because meningitis had hit this area, and their several children had died from it. Some of them lost their eyesight because of it. It was a bad deal. Man, I'm telling you, our bunch moved into that waiting room, set up shop over there, and they began to minister to families and begin to talk to the people and come up to the families. You have a child in here? Oh, yeah. You need help praying over this? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Where was the power? In us. In us. I walked up one old boy in that waiting room out there. See, our baby just been healed. She perfectly all right. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I woke up one morning, he's just sitting there, kind of mad looking. And I said, "You got a child here?" "Yep." I said, "You know anything about prayer?" "Nope." I said, "You want me to help you?" "Yep." I sat down there and I read the scripture to him. I said, "Now, I've been studying this for years and years and years. And I can guarantee you that Jesus is alive today and he has been raised from the dead. Do you believe that?" He said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "All right, I'm going to lead you in prayer and you're going to make him Lord right now and he's going to heal your family." I said, "That work for you?" "Yep." And I noticed the yeps were getting better. Led the man to the Lord.
Praise God.
Right there in that waiting room.
Praise God.
Now, when Glory and I mean, they put all that protective clothing on us, you know, and we walked in there and we ministered, as I described to you yesterday, ministered to Lindsay. And then she hollered loud enough, everybody in that ward heard that, "Papa, oh, I'm healed in the name of Jesus." This bed next to me, about as far as from here to Brother Mark, that bed over there, and there was a woman standing there over a little boy that was in that bed. She came over there to me. "Mister, could you come pray over my grandson?" I said, "Sure." What's happening? Overflow. What happens when you stand up and take authority over that storm in the name of Jesus and it jumps over your house? Well, it jumped over the next door neighbor's house too. Folks, that's who we are. Amen.
Amen.
So she said, "I've raised this boy." She said, my kids don't love God, don't care nothing about God, but I've raised this boy to know God." But she said, "I've been praying, God help me. You send me somebody that knows how to pray over this." And she said, "Would you pray like you prayed over your baby?" I said, "Mama, we're going to pray over your boy." I said, "Gloria, come on." Man, I mean, we got over there and I just listened to the Lord and listened to what he said. And the Lord directed me how to pray over that boy. Amen.
Amen.
Where was the power? Did it have to come down from heaven?
No.
Well, of course, the Spirit of God is everywhere. So there's power. There's enough power in every hospital room on the face of the earth to heal everybody in the hospital. But people don't know how to tap into that power. Now, Jesus said, "It's the Father that dwells within me. He does the work." And when you and I walk in the room, that's where the power is. We need to begin to sense this responsibility. Amen. It'll get you up. When you're feeling tired and don't want to go to meeting this morning, it'll get you up and get you here at the first service. Glory to God. Because you're building up this inner man, because that's where the power is. Hallelujah. let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. Well, let's begin with the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, the anointed Messiah, the Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now I want you to notice this. He said, we are named after the Father. See, you don't get named after your brother.
That's right. That's
good. You get named after the Father.
That's right.
Amen. And if you'll notice, he inherited his name, which is above every name that's named. Well, so did we. Amen. That's your name. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you carry weight around here. I remember Brother Roberts talking about this years ago. He said when Ronnie got out of the army, he decided that he'd had all the persecution that he wanted out of being a Roberts. And so he's going to go his own way. And so he went into the bank to get money, to get a loan for a car. And they went over his deal and called him in and they said, well, son, I know you're a good man. You just got out of the service and all that. But I just can't put this thing together enough to loan you the money. There's just not enough information here. As much as I'd like to do it, Ronnie said, well, oh, he didn't want to do this. He said, would it make any difference if I said to you that my dad is Oral Roberts? Well, boy, why didn't you tell me that in the first place? Yeah. The name. The name. The devil finds out you know what your name is. See, he's already so scared of you. Because you just, and he'll flee.
Yes, sir.
Satan is fear. He doesn't have fear. He is fear. Don't make me come back there. I just see the look on my daddy's face. And I said, okay. Let me give you another story about my dad. And you'll get the connection. I just got home from the army and I was tired and mad. And I was mad at the world and everybody in it. I got up the next morning and I went into the kitchen and I sassed my mama. This reminds me of another story about my dad, too. In his kitchen, you could go out into the hall through this door, or you could go around through the den and go out in the hall through that door. So I'm walking out of there. He went around and came in this other door and met me as I'm walking out. And I'm standing right in front of the refrigerator. And I had a terry cloth robe on. He grabbed the lapel of that robe and he slammed me into that refrigerator and scooted me up it. Got right up in my face. He said, boy, mean you're going to have a fight. And by God, I'm going to win. I said, no, sir. No, sir, you done won. Put me down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. She had to get in. Okay. Yeah. The Lord said, I can tell you this. So. I wasn't, but I was just about 15 and a half, close to 16, I guess. And, oh, Lord, this may be the answer to the question of how dumb can you get. But, well, I've answered that question a lot in my life. And he said something, I don't remember what it was. And we're in his bedroom, and I just went like this. And he just, bam! Whoa! His closet door was open. He hit me right through. I went flying back into that closet, and he just shut the door. I woke up. It's the only time I've been knocked out in my life. I've been hit by some pretty strong guys, but never like that. I woke up in that closet. Man, it's dark in there. And I thought, that old man done blinded me. My Lord. And then I felt the clothes and I realized, my mother asked me later, she said, Kenneth, what were you thinking about? She said, don't you know that your daddy was a prize fighter? Nobody ever told me that. Now, you have to remember, that phrase, prize fighter, that's not talking about golden gloves. They're just talking about the days of the prize fighter. When localities back in the 20s, 1920s, and particularly out in the western part of the United States, little small towns, rural towns all over the place. Well, you would have a series of fights and tournaments, and the guy that came out became the city champion. Amen. Some of them called him the town bully. They weren't talking about some guy that's a, you know, bully kind of a guy. He's the town champion. And you could challenge him. And I mean the whole town would come out. And you get part of the purse even if you lose. But back in those days, there wasn't a whole lot of rules. There were some. But they kind of loose, you know. Amen. My dad and his cousin, I called him Uncle Carl, but he's really my dad's cousin, my great cousin. Anyway, mother said, Kenneth, your daddy, and Carl fought their way all the way from the Texas Panhandle all the way to the San Fernando Valley. That's the way they paid to get to California. I said, Mama, why didn't you tell me? She said, I don't know. Where this, you know, it was a long time ago. That's back before she and Daddy got married. And she said, when they decided to come back, they fought their way all the way back to Texas and never lost a fight. That's the way they financed the trip. And my dad would fight in this town, and Uncle Carl would be the second. They'd go to the next town, Uncle Carl would fight, my daddy would be the second. And I did this. Bad move, man. Bam! Whoa! Where was the power? In him! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I never did that anymore. No. No, no, me and Daddy got along real good. Well, until I come home sassy, but hey, when he said we're going to have a fight, I said, no, we ain't either. You done won this. You won it back there a number of years ago when you knocked my lights out in the bedroom. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Lord, where was the glory to God when I got into that? All right. Ephesians 3:16. Let's go back there again now. That he would grant you, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, or in your inner man. Now, that word might is translation of the Greek word dynamis, D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. Now, go, hold your place there. Okay, yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll do it that way. Thank you, Lord. Let's go down now to the 20th verse. Let's just read down there to it. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know, to have intimate knowledge of the love of the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, according to the dynamis that works within you.
That's right.
Are you with me now?
Yes,
we found it in two places. That he grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with dynamis by his spirit in the inner man. The verse 20, according to the dynamis that worketh in you. That it's the Father that dwells within. He does the works according to the power that works within.
Amen.
Glory. Glory, 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 glory. All right. Now then, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. But you shall receive dynamis. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen. You'll receive power. Same word. Same Greek word. Now Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with dynamis. Exactly the same word, exactly the same power, exactly the same spirit. But all of this revelation that he talked about in Ephesians 3, all of these wonderful things are according to the working of that power in you. Amen. God, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God, or as the Jewish translators translated, in the beginning, the Blessed One created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Same Spirit. Same Spirit. If it's the same Spirit, it's the same power. There's not two different Holy Spirits. There's not one for us and one for some. No, no. I was praying one day, back in the very early days. I needed help. I was in this little meeting, and it just wasn't looking all that good for us. People were staying away by the thousands. And, God, I'd heard somebody pray this. God, send the power just now. Oh, send the power just now. Oh, God. And when I kind of quietened down a little bit, he said, Kenneth. Sir. He said, where am I going to get it? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you've been crying around all morning about sending the power. He said, where am I going to get it? He said, I can't turn to someone and say, Kenneth needs more power. So... And he said something that shook me to my core, changed my whole direction of thought for the rest of my life. He said, Kenneth, I could have filled you with an angel. I said, what? He said, well, what do you think a demon-possessed person is? Someone Satan has possessed. That's a fallen angel possessing a man. And he said, I got some sharp ones. Some powerful angels. He said, I could have filled you with an angel. But he said, son, I filled you with myself. He said, I didn't trust you to an angel. I didn't trust you to... He said, I could have created some being that never existed before to come and empower the church. But he said, I don't trust them. I don't trust you to anybody but me. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, boy. I'm all you need. Now just go do what I've taught you to do. What was he doing to me? He got my mind off of this out here and got it in here. Become God inside minded. Think about it that way all the time, every time, day in, day out. God is in me. He's in me. I look to the one that's in me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I trust the one that's in me. He's been given authority in my life, and God sent him, and I gave him that authority in my life. That's what's so important about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's what's so vital about speaking with other tongues. Out of all of that whole physical body, that tongue is the problem. Amen. And when you take that step and you yield that tongue to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You have taken a step of faith that will affect every other organ in your physical body. It'll affect everything in your spirit. It'll affect everything in your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a privilege to pray in the Spirit. and build this inner man. Praise God, that's where the power is. Well, the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the deep. Well, what if God had said, oh, the Spirit of God is moving. And I know in His own good time, when He's ready, He's going to put this darkness out. Folks, it'd still be dark. What's even worse, the Spirit of God moving on the face of the deep, and God walked up there and says, "Dadgum, it's dark." What would have happened then? He would have turned it all over to the devil. And we'd have never got out of it. No, He didn't call things that were the way they are. What'd He do? He called things that be not. Light be, light was. That same Spirit. That same Spirit, that same power, that same power. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, He's in there right now. He's in there right now. And if you have received Him as baptizer in the Holy Ghost, praise God, I want you to know. See, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues is the gateway into the supernatural. Amen. That's when you step over into the arena of the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. See, you don't have to be a prophet to operate in gifts of healings. You don't even have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. These are for all men to profit with all. And just because you prophesy, that don't make you a prophet. Amen. You may be a prophet in the making, but that don't sign your prophet. No, you could do the same thing. You could walk into that same hospital. You could have gone in there after seeking the face of the Lord and found out exactly what to say and exactly what to do, and the same gifts of healing, the same gift of faith, the same thing would have worked in you just the same, and your granddaughter be healed right then and there. You don't have to be a prophet to do that. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! The blood.
The blood.
The blood.
The blood.
The blood bought and paid for it. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, I'll tell him. Nick. From this morning forward, gifts of healings will increase in operation in your life and will work more proficiently than they have in all the years of your ministry, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Now then, I wanted you to see that the born again child of God has within your reborn spirit exactly the same dunamis that Jesus had in His spirit.
spirit after he was raised from the dead. Because he went through the new birth. He's the first one. The scripture said he was manifested in the flesh. That's when he was born in Bethlehem. But he was made alive in the spirit. That's when he became the firstborn from the dead. He had been made sin. But right in the pit of hell, the first of many brethren. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Now, start paying more attention to your insides. He's in there. Learn to trust him. Put him to work. He's in there to work. He's in there to work 24 hours a day. He doesn't go to sleep in the back of the boat. Amen. That's the reason Jesus said it's more expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the other comforter. See, he was their comforter. I mean, he was their helper. He was their standby. He was their intercessor. Amen. He was their strengthener. He was their counselor. He was their advocate. He was all those things while he was here on the earth. Look, turn with me over there to the 14th chapter of John. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you what. Don't you love the Word of God? That world out there does not know what they're missing. My. But they're about to find out. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells within me, he does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, when people believed on him while he was in his earthly ministry, and they heard him preach, and faith came. Amen. They began to realize what he's preaching. He preached it everywhere he went. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. And all you had to do was believe he was anointed and believe that. See, they didn't know about him what you and I know. No, they were seeing a man, anointed man, the first one they'd ever seen anointed like that. They said, who is this? And they believed what he said. And they believed that this anointing, whatever it was that he's talking about, they believed that it would work for them. What are they doing? They're looking at him, but they're believing for that anointing to work. Yes. Now, what happened at Nazareth in his own hometown? It said there he could do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Right. Savior laid his hands on him, just a few. They didn't believe he was anointed. They didn't believe that. So, there was no way that he can make a connection. So he's saying to them, believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Well, if you don't believe that, then look at the works. Something inside me is working. See? Nobody else is walking around doing any of this. But then what was this happening in the streets of Jerusalem that we read about in Acts 5? Same anointing, same spirit, working the same way, and the people believed that if they just got close enough, just shat a distance of that man, that whatever it is in him and on him would get on me and heal me. Now, it's wonderful for people to believe that about you and me, but it's time for you, I'm not saying you and me because I already do, but it's time for you to begin to believe it's in you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it has everything to do with the way you read the Bible, the way you measure these stories, has everything in the world to do with it. How many times have you compared yourself to the woman with the issue of blood, and you just see yourself, and you're trying to get a hold of that garment, you're trying to receive healing? Sweetheart, get up off of the ground. Get up off of the ground. Stand up. You're not the woman with the issue of blood. You're the woman that got healed of the issue of blood. Now stand up and begin to walk through the crowd. You are now one with the hem of the garment. You got the same name. You got the same spirit. You got the same word. You got the same assignment. Hallelujah! But now to begin thinking like that, you don't get off into thinking you something. You are something. Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't work because you're something. You're something because it works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be acting like that. We're supposed to be acting like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, talking like Jesus. We get his results. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The greater one. Pay attention to him. Pay attention to him. He is in there. Let's go to 1 John. Now, don't go to 1 John. I told you before, I just work here. You understand? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that'll I do. Now, let's back up a little. And if you go back and study these words, you'll find out that that is not a prayer scripture. Whatsoever you shall demand in my name, that will I do. When is he talking about? After he goes to the Father. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is coming. The greater one is coming. And he's not going to just be with us. He's going to be in us. See, that's what he's talking about. And whatever you demand in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, or do what I tell you to do, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. This is a forever thing. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. They knew him. They knew the Holy Spirit. They knew him. How did they know him? They knew him in Jesus. Amen. And when Jesus sent them out on mission, the power under which they were ministering was coming out of him. I don't care if he's 50 miles away. The power came out of him with them. Amen. Oh, yeah. Now, you can let me go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. The Spirit of God moving on the face of the deep. but he's inside the Father. Selah. Think about that. See, he's moving on the face of the deep, but he's inside. Jesus standing right there. Now, I hope this rattled your cage enough to where you get in the Word of God and find out. I ain't going to do all your studying for you. I'm not even going to go through the Scriptures. I'm just going to tell you. But they're in there. I said they're in there. Particularly in the book of Hebrews, particularly in the book of Colossians. Now, I ain't going to tell you now. No, no. He created the heaven and the earth for and by Jesus. Huh? The Spirit is inside the Father. It's moving. The Father said to Jesus, light be. Jesus said, light be. Light was. That's the reason he said, let us make man. Amen. See, Jesus, future man, actually did the speaking. And it's still true right here in John 14. My words are not my own. It's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. It's always been that way, always will be. But now that's the way it has to be with you and me. This is our life we're talking about here. This is the way we are. This is who we are. Now then, I'll pray the Father who give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, or I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you in a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you live also. At that day, we're living in that day. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cobra bikishinaba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 20th chapter of John. How are we doing here? 17th verse. Mary had, and the 15th verse, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek you? She, opposed, supposing him to be the gardener, said, sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus said, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And he said, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and unto your God. Now, what was happening here? He said, don't touch me. I'm still on a mission here. He studied out in the book of Hebrews. He presented himself before the Father. And he was judged righteous before God. And anointed and took his place. Amen. As Lord Advocate General of the Church. King of kings and Lord of lords. And then after that, she came and told the disciples, look at verse 19, and the same day at evening, this was early in the morning, he spent all day in the presence of the Father, and every word of the new covenant was sworn to him by God.
God and His blood, all of His blood, not just a drop or two, all of His blood is in the heavenly Holy of Holies. All of that was officiated on that day. Hallelujah. He swore every word of the New Testament, the New Covenant, in His blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I'm telling you, that is our coming out day right there. Amen. But then that evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut with the disciples to send them for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And there the disciples were glad, and then they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, I thought for a long time that the church began on the day of Pentecost. No. It began right here. Now, what are the requirements to be born again? Jesus has to be glorified, which he was. Amen. And you have to believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead. Well, they certainly did. And confess him with your mouth as Lord. They'd already done that. But this wasn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was the new birth. It happened to those two on the way to Emmaus. He preached the word to them. And they said, didn't our heart burn in us when he is teaching us? Glory to God. Hallelujah. They heard the word on it. He went through the prophets and they took hold of it. And the moment that he prayed over the meal, they recognized him. What did they believe instantly? He's been raised from the dead. He disappeared. Where was their faith? In seeing him? No, in the word of the prophets. That's the reason he disappeared immediately. Hallelujah. Are we getting anywhere with it? Hallelujah. Now, he appeared to 500 in one place. Well, what do you think happened to them? Same thing. What do you think happened to all of that 120 that's in the upper room? All of them. This same thing happened to them. They didn't go to the upper room to get born again. They went to the upper room to get baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
By the time they got to the upper room, everybody in there knew he'd been raised from the dead. Hallelujah! It's shouting time in the household of faith here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I've gone long enough today. But this has to become so real. See, there's not any difference in us. Well, there is, but not the way people have thought. People have thought, well, that was the early church. They had more than enough. No. We got the same new birth as they got. We got the same Holy Ghost that they got. But hey, we've got 2,000 years of experience to learn from. Oh, hey, we got this whole New Testament to learn from.
That's right. Amen.
We're way ahead of them.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Should be way ahead of them.
Amen.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, yes, sir. Yeah, I'll do it. Let's go to 1 John. That's chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist,
Wherefore you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have. Now, it didn't say go overcome the devil. It said you have overcome them antichrist devils. You have overcome them. You have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Jesus defeated the devil and every demon of hell and took the keys away from them and slapped them on their face forever. Hey, you and I have it written in our version of the covenant that he did it. Heaven has it written in their version of the covenant that you did it. You have overcome them. You. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, I get so excited about it sometimes that it's hard to stand myself. Glory to God. Get up on your feet. Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Greater. Yes, sir. I'll do that too. And I want to demonstrate something to you. Now, I want you to say this. I'm going to count you down, and on three, we're going to say it. And I want you to say it boldly. We're going to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you ready? Yes. One, two, three. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now we're going to do it again. Only this time. We're going to be like David. And we're going to say it with every fiber of our being. I'm talking about being aware of the greater one that's within you. I'm talking about trusting him. I'm talking about being God inside minded. I'm talking about putting him to work for you. Like what Brother Hagin said, he's not just excess baggage which you're dragging around through the world waiting to go to heaven. Are you ready? One, two, three. Greater! Take it. I'm healed now. Anybody in the room that needs healing in your body, get your hand up. Now, if somebody around you got their hands up, you turn around there and in the name of Jesus, you put your hands on them and you demand with all that's in you for them to be healed and well. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off of God's property, Satan. I expect it. Woo! Woo!
Now what happened?
We all got into one accord and shifted our thinking towards the greater one that is within us. And we expected the greater one and his power to flow out of us through our hand into and onto the person upon whom we laid our hands in the name of Jesus and expect them to recover. And when hands were laid on you, you began to expect the greater one on the inside of you to rise up within you. But you also expected something to come through their hands. Huh. Phil, I just heard the word of the Lord. Go ahead and do it, and I'll replace that which is cursed with that which is blessed, and it'll be far better, and it'll take almost no time at all to do it. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa!